fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk again today about Advent. As I mentioned yesterday, this is the first week of the season of Advent, the first season of the church year. It's the head of the year for us, a time where we begin our journey as we do every year as the church cycles us through and leads us through the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Paschal mystery, his coming in the flesh, the incarnation, his life, his teaching, his passion, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into glory. It's a season of readiness. As I mentioned yesterday, there's lots of use of the terms from darkness to light in the season of Advent, to step into the light and to wake up, to be alert. We're being called and exhorted to begin the church year again in a posture of alertness. We're alive to who God is. We're alive to who we are. We understand our purpose and our destiny. If we don't, the church wants to help us right from the beginning and calls us right into it so that we live with, as Jesus and as the parables of Jesus talked about, with our lamps burning. We're ready for the Lord's return. We haven't fallen asleep. We haven't become lukewarm. We haven't just drifted with the culture. We haven't taken on the vision and image of the culture. We're not conformed to it, but we're conformed to the person of Christ. As I said, the Catechism has a wonderful section that I began to reflect on yesterday. Chapter 2, Part 1 of the Profession of Faith taken from the Creed. The Church at the beginning of the Catechism takes us through the Creed and what we believe. And this section, Article 7, talks about the return of the Lord. And the Church situates very clearly the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of Jesus, the teaching of the prophets, what we know for sure about who Jesus is, and what he's going to do, what his return is all about. Because remember, Advent is both preparation for Christmas, the celebration when the people of God celebrate the gift of the incarnation, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh. And because of that, humanity, which had fallen from God's glory, had fallen from its place of dignity as having been made in the image of God, because of the stain of original sin, Jesus has come to deal with that problem, to raise us up again, to make it possible for us to be able to enter into God's glory and find our fulfillment, our fundamental destiny. So I touched on the first paragraph from that section of the Catechism, paragraph 668. The whole section beginning with paragraph 668 and working its way down all the way to 682, it would be a great section. It's not that long. It's actually quite short. Great reflection for the season of Advent. If you haven't thought about what you'd like to do for the season of Advent, I encourage you, why don't you just take this section? You could just go to your computer. You could just Google Catechism, the Catholic Church, Advent. It'll take you to the Vatican website. You'll see it on there. There's an option you can choose to Vatican.va, and what'll pop up is this section of the Catechism. So what I'd like to do today is to begin to move us through it. You could begin to read this each day, and you'll note at the bottom of this section, there's all kinds of Bible passages that go with each paragraph. Meditating on those and meditating on the teaching of the Catechism would be, I think, really fruitful. What we see right from the beginning in this section is the reality of Christ's reign through his church. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he reigns? And I talked about that quite a bit yesterday, so I won't go over this particular paragraph again. But I do want you to see and to think for a minute about the clarity with which the church speaks to us about the entirely unique reality of who Jesus is. The world we live in, the world that he made, that was made for him and for his glory, constantly rebels against its fundamental vocation, which is to come and to live under the lordship of Jesus and to live to please him. The world rebels against that constantly because we don't want to bend the knee to anybody. And we'd rather pretend like we're here by accident, that the world has no meaning, so that we don't have to submit to the authority of God and God's purpose and plan. We don't have to face the fact that we're in need of a Savior, that we didn't make ourselves, that we're not here on our own purpose and design, but there is a purpose and design that is at the heart of God's plan, and it's the only place we can find our identity and our ultimate purpose. We push him for the horizon, but because Jesus is such a significant historical figure, they can't completely ignore his existence, though some people try to do it. But instead, what we do, as I mentioned yesterday, the words of Cardinal Ratzinger, as he had put it at one point, he said that the culture today, society, seeks to empty the figure and person of Jesus of his fundamental significance, his entire uniqueness, his great power and majesty and glory. And they do this by saying he was a good moral teacher. He was a kind of prophetic figure. He's kind of a radical revolutionary. He was nice. He was kind. He was, as one of Oprah Winfrey's guests said years ago, he was one of the enlightened people, one of the most enlightened people that has ever come through the world. But we're enlightened too. He's just a little more enlightened than us. All of it failing to recognize the fundamental truth about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of God, the only Son of God. The only way salvation could ever happen, could ever come to us, is through the only Son of God, who became a precious offering to God on our behalf, who became sin for us, who died on a cross, a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Only his blood could wash us clean. Only his becoming one of us and representing us on that cross and rising, the new Adam, passing through death, swallowing up death, our great enemy, and entering into God's presence, rising from the dead and entering into his glory. In that process, Jesus takes with him the human race through death, judgment, to rising from the dead, to begin the new creation, to be raised by God, to ascend to the Father, to be at his right hand. Friends, every other God, quote-unquote God, every other wise teacher was made by him, is a creature. Jesus is the God-man. There's no one like Christ. No one else can save you and save me. No one else can recreate or make all things new. Only Jesus Christ, the Lord, can do that. That's why he's the only Savior of the world. There's a paragraph I want to read from a document called Dominus Jesus that was written in the 90s, I think, by the Sacred Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith under the direction of Cardinal Ratzinger at the time, who became Pope Benedict XVI and really commissioned by Pope John Paul II to write this document on to clarify confusion, tremendous confusion in the church itself about one, who is Jesus Christ, and number two, what is the church? And I want to just read a paragraph from paragraph 15, the second half of paragraph 15, to just give you a sense of how much, first of all, how clear the church is about who Christ is, but the urgency the church carries in her heart to communicate to the world the entirely unique character of the person of Jesus Christ. Here's the paragraph. In this sense, one can and must say that Jesus Christ has a significance and a value for the human race and its history, which are unique and singular, proper to him alone, exclusive, universal, and absolute. Jesus is, in fact, the Word of God made man for the salvation of all. In expressing this consciousness of faith, the Second Vatican Council teaches, quote, that the Word of God, through whom all things were made, was made flesh, so that as perfect man, he could save all men and sum up all things in himself. The Lord is the goal of human history. He's the focal point of the desires of history and civilization. He's the center of mankind. He's the joy of all hearts. He's the fulfillment of all aspirations. It is he whom the Father raised from the dead and exalted and placed at his right hand, constituting him judge of the living and the dead. It is precisely this uniqueness of Christ which gives him an absolute and universal significance, whereby, while belonging to history, he remains history's center and goal. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. the beginning and the end. Friends, that's Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another religious guru. He's not just a wise man. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of human history. Everything in it, every person, all of God's creation was made by him and was made for him. I love this line. He's the goal of human history and the focal point of the desires of history and civilization. And he's the center of mankind, the joy of all hearts, and the fulfillment of all aspirations. Do you see the reality of the spiritual battle we're in? The human race is pushing Christ from the human horizon. Why? Because the demonic forces that are at work in the world today, in this fallen, broken world. Satan wants to reign. And how does he do it? Does he come and tell us, I want to reign and I want you to genuflect to me? No, that's not what he says. He comes to us and says, you can reign. You can be Lord. You should be the center of everything. You should have everything and everyone serve you. You should be the center of all. And that's how he enslaves us. And we're seduced by it because of the work of the flesh in us, that dimension of our existence that refuses to accept the will of God and to say yes to God. But we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the Christian church, the Christian community, and in the season of Advent, it's very important for us, the baptized, to ask the question, is Jesus the goal of my personal history? Is he the focal point of my desire? Is he the center of my life? Is he the joy of my heart? Do I see in him the fulfillment of all my aspirations? Am I living a life that reflects that? Is that really who I am? So the church wants us to make this examination of our hearts for lots of reasons, but the fundamental and the reason of first importance is that you and I, you and me, that we could be ready for the day of the Lord. Because the truth about my heart, the truth about your heart, is going to get revealed. And friends, it doesn't matter how strong your convictions are or how many people think your values and ideas are wonderful. If Christ is not the center of it all, it will be judged. You will be exposed. That's where I am. I will be exposed as someone who refused to accept God's purpose and plan for my life, and I refuse to bend my knee to the King who is enthroned at the Father's right hand because I had a better idea, because I thought it would be easier for everyone in my life and easier to get along with everyone and to create harmony if somehow Jesus was diminished. Friends, this is the season to wake up. This is the season to hear the cry of the church, and through the cry of the church, the voice of the Lord and of the saints and of Our Lady communicating with tremendous urgency. Get right with the Lord. Give your life to him. Surrender to him. Let him lead you, and you'll reach your destiny. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.